You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Pessimists see a glass half empty, but our optimists see a glass half full. Are we locked into regressive mentality by change unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Catherine Box Seal. Welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America is afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the truth seekers out there. Good morning, Catherine. Thank you so much, Queen, for being on with us this morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for having me on today. And I'm doing great this Saturday, Juneteenth morning.
Celebration, Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, absolutely, it is Juneteenth. And to our surprise, we are now celebrating, I guess, a national holiday, right?
Yeah,
somehow, we wasn't even asking for it, but we got a little bit to bone the nibble on, if you will, right? So you know, this is something, you know, this is nothing new for us. This is very much our tradition or whatever, so I guess having it recognized as national figures, as you say, some kibbles and bits over here. But yeah, we didn't need that to keep celebrating what we already been celebrating. So, again, thank you so much for being on with us this morning, Queen. Before we get into this morning's discussion question, if you will, tell my truth seekers out there listening a little bit about who you are and obviously reference anything that relates to this morning's discussion question, which we'll let the cat out the bag on that here after you give a little bit of your background. But thank you for being with us, Queen.
Well, thank you again, Montoya, for having me. And, my name is Catherine Boxall, and I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, Crown Heights. Born and bred to Trinidadian parents. I am now residing in the DMV, Maryland area, and what brought me down here was I attended Howard University, and so upon graduating, I stayed in the area. So for all the bison out there, HU, and so currently, over the past 20 years, I have been working in the media radio industry as a research consultant for radio stations across the United States. I also happen to be a host and producer of a show on DC's WPFW-FM called Inside Out LGBT Radio Show. And I also have a LLC called Be Do Love. It coincides with the blog that I have where my purpose is to inspire people to breathe and live outside of their boxes where I blog and curate events. And that's a nutshell. I want to give a shout out today to my father, Enric Boxo, who I was caregiver for the past year and a half, and he passed away Christmas Day last year, but his birthday was this Wednesday. So happy birthday, Pop, and happy Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all of the fathers, whether by blood or not, coming up this weekend.
No, absolutely. Definitely happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there that cannot be recognized enough. I, too, lost my father 2 days before Christmas, so absolutely understand those sentiments
with you. Right?
Yeah, yeah, so we there together. So, yeah, my first Father's Day, in a sense, without my father, in a sense. And so, you know, definitely said they're still with us, if you will. You know, but, you know, with that said, again, happy Father's Day. I'm also proud to announce our very special guest for this morning. I know he's had some things tied up, but he's making it happen. Coach Larry Scott is now with us, so let's get that brother introduced before we, again, let the cat bag on the exact discussion question. Again, I go by the name of Socrates, and we actually do our shows in the form of a question. But before we do that, let's absolutely introduce our star of the show this morning, Larry Scott. Thank you, Coach, for being with us. If you will, say hello to the truth seekers out there. I don't know if you caught that I have your the leader of your band alumni, Catherine Boxer, along with us this morning. So kind of a surprise, special co-host with you this morning. Hello, Coach Scott. I got you
on the air. Yeah, I can hear you kind of in and out there,
Oh, okay, it's going in and out for you? Okay. Okay, maybe we may have to have you call back in. I know you're on phone, so sometimes you may have a bad connection if you're not able to hear me.
Okay.
Yeah, well, are you coming through clear? So, yeah, if you will, go ahead and introduce yourself, you know, share whatever you would like to do.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I'm excited about being on. Thank you for having me. Larry Scott, head coach at Howard University, man, and excited to be here, be in the DMV, be in the D.C. area, and be at Howard University, and excited about being on the show today.
Hey, thanks again, King, for being on with us. And again, just to let you know, you have fellow Bison, well, not to say fellow Bison, but Catherine Boxel, she's on with us as well as our co-host. So,
well, he's an honorary now since, you know, he's in the fold.
And
welcome, Coach Scott. You know, we didn't have a full season last year, but one thing I didn't mention is that I am the coordinator for the alumni band at Howard University. So on behalf of the alumni band, we officially welcome you as we go into this new post sort of kind of pandemic season that we are looking forward to very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Absolutely. We're glad to have both of you on for this morning's discussion. Quick shout out to truly fellow Bison, LaDietra White. She was the one that was basically pretty much pulled the strings for me to actually have both of you on. So I definitely have to shout that queen out. She's definitely been a guest of the show several times. So I wanted to highlight LaDietra White as well. If we get into this morning's discussion question, let's go ahead and kind of open it up, and we're going to go to a quick break after I get this out, and then we'll get into this morning's discussion. But this morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Let me say it one more time. NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory. So if y'all will, I just want to hear your initial, when you hear that question, Catherine, again, you being the queen and our special guest co-host, we'll start with you. When you hear that question, just give me just the initial thought, because we've got to go to break, so we're not going to go too deep. We'll go deep after the break. But when you first heard that question, what was the first thought that came to your mind?
The first thought that came to my mind was having a strong support system. That was my first thought in terms of having someone who understands and recognizes what we all are going through in terms of our Black experience.
I love it. Coach Scott, same thing for you. Again, we're about to go to a quick break. So just one quick thought. When I reached out through you, through some of your coaches to say, hey, we'd love to bring you on. Here's a topic of discussion. When you saw that topic, what was just your first initial thought?
I very much agree with what was just said. It's just the whole idea of making sure you have the right people in place and support systems in place. And when we talk about, even deeper when you get into it, it's just like glory days. How do we define that? What does that mean? What does that look like in the terms of success in today's environment? What does that look like? And what is it that we're truly, truly, truly after when we say glory days?
Nah, I love it. Great question. Great thought. All right, we're going to go again to a quick break. We'll be right back. Just so y'all know, our live, so just keep that in mind. If you have to do something in the background, just mute yourselves. But we will be back, and we will open up the phone lines a little later to let others get in on this morning's discussion question. Can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways, every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
Also, this week we found out that Deion Sanders is going back to be a head coach at the HBCU Jackson State. How do you think Coach Prime going to do? Because you and I both know him on a different level, and we know he's always wanted to coach. That was always his passion, to help these kids become better people, better men, and in the process help you get to the next level, whatever that next level may be. That's always been his passion.
That's beautiful that Prime is at the HBCU, because now we can start sending kids there with a real purpose, because a lot of times it's unattractive because they try to make it look unattractive. But when you got somebody like Deion, who's prestigious, smart, sharp, understands football, now the HBCUs look attractive again. And now they look like that's what we need to be, because if y'all know or not, in the beginning, that's all we had was the HBCU. That's what the NFL came and built their league off of. They came and founded their league out of the HBCU because that's where all that talent was.
Mm-hmm.
Until those other universities start stealing our kids, taking our fame, and stripping us down and throwing us to the curb when it go bad. So the HBCU is the best thing going. I'm totally behind that. I'm totally with that. Deion is a friend of mine. My family is from Mississippi, so I'm going to be going out there working with him, helping him get that thing moving and grooving. I think it's a great look just because he's so into those kids. He loves mm-hmm. kids. You know anything about Deion Sanders? He loves them babies. Them babies mean the world.
He does. He loves the kids.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Catherine Boxhill. This morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Our special guest is head football coach Howard University, Larry Scott, as we hear a cut from Shannon Sharp, as well as Snoop on his show, Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay, I think is what he calls it. So we hear a cut of them talking about initially when, if you will, Deion Sanders getting hired on at Jackson State. And part of the reason we're having this discussion, because it brought that type of notoriety to, in a sense, start paying attention. So Coach Scott is our special guest. When you hear, those thoughts coming from Sharp and Snoop, if you will, what comes to mind? I know you want to go into some things prior to the break. So if you will, go ahead, King, and what's your thoughts on that, if you will?
I think what you picked up was the rhetoric of true passion. Those people, those guys obviously knows Deion on a personal level and know the man that he is first. And I think at the end of the day, it's come from the heart and it's passion driven. And it's based on, why you do what you do, not for what, other, unintrinsic kind of motivational things. I think you find, true passion in Deion. Now, we all know how passionate Deion is about in him, himself as a player, and not even just as a player, but when he was a TV personality, and then just his true, genuine love and care for young people. And I think as long as whatever you're doing comes from that place, it always has a chance to be successful, especially in the realm of team development and in a football locker room and in an academic environment where you're pushing young people to go be the better versions of themselves each and every day. So I think it's great, and I think as long as, you know, for all of us as coaches, whether we have the background that Deion has or not, if we truly are passionate about what we do and our why is always out in front of what we're doing, you know, you're going to have a chance to impact young people's lives.
That absolutely makes sense. Catherine, your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, I think Coach Scott hit it right there when he said make them better versions of themselves, you know, because you're having students, young people who are coming into their young adulthood but still very much children in some regards who require some leadership, mentorship, nurturing, love, you know, everything that goes into really what goes into parenting, mm-hmm. so to speak. And so you really require someone there who understands how important that role is in order to be supporting our young Black men, and not just for coaching purposes, but for supporting them with their mental and emotional and even perhaps spiritual development, because we also know in some households a lot of that may not be present for various reasons.
No, those are excellent thoughts. What I picked up out of that cut, just wanted to kind of get into it. I think it's perfect to what Coach Scott talked about, the idea of, you know, in a sense, what glory looks like today, if you will. But I love how Snoop just referenced to a degree the NFL, in a sense, made his name off of being able to, in a sense, siphon some of the former NFL greats that came from our HBCUs, the Jerry Rices, the Walter Paytons of the world, you know, plenty of people that end up starring in the league and really shoring it up and making it what it is. So I agree with Snoop that, in a sense, the NFL specifically relied on the HBCUs more than, in a sense, they're given credit for. I think in today's time, people kind of look back on, quote unquote, those glory days to say the HBCU, in a sense, they look at it as, yeah, they used to put people in the NFL, but not realizing how the HBCUs actually propped up the NFL, if you will. So let's, you know, don't take on a historical perspective. Let's take a step back, if you will, Coach Scott. But what are your thoughts in reference to the HBCUs actually, in a sense, lifting up the in a sense, the pro leagues, if you will? What are your thoughts on that?
Man, you go back, you hit the names, Jerry Rice's, you know, the Walter Paytons, you know, of the world, and those are just some of the big key names mm-hmm. that we all know that became Hall of Famers. There's so many, many, many more that have come from the HBCU leagues and gone into the NFL and started the NFL and you know, had, you know, tremendous careers in the National Football League. Shoot, I happen to have one that, you know, I talk to regularly. That's an alumni, Antoine Bethea, you know, from Howard University. You know, same type of deal. So it's something that obviously we know where talent and having the talent to perform and play in those leagues lie. And then there's a lot of young people that are still in this sector and you know, in the HBCU leagues that have the ability and the talent and all those type of things to play in the league, but don't have the exposure necessarily. So I think right now when you have names like, going back to the initial question, like Deion Sanders and the Eddie Georges, they happen to have a platform because of who they are and what they've done, and now they're bringing some exposure and, back to putting cameras and finding this talent again. It's there. It's led to the NFL striking up deals within filming systems to be able to get into now and do weekly evaluations and evaluate our games just like they do for teams in the SEC and PWIs and the ACC and those type of things. So opening up that access and opening up that exposure is going to, I think, slowly, you know, not slowly, I hope, you know, hopefully it goes into overdrive now bring back the exposure and open up those opportunities for these young people to play in the National Football League again in high numbers, just not one, two, or three a year, but, you know, multiple.
No, I love it. I love to hear, you know, in a sense, you've been able to kind of give insight on what's actually starting to work and happening because of, in a sense, as you say, these former players returning and putting the eyes, you know, not on just their universities, but the HBCUs in general. Catherine, if you will, just want to dig back again. I think this is a perspective that even our community as a culture needs to realize and not just look at, you know, in a sense, these HBCU athletes of the past as, oh, they used to put people in the NFL. But again, I'm loving highlighting what Snoop pointed out in the sense that we literally propped up those leagues, if you will. And so I think that's just something that even we, in a sense, as a community should remember and I would hope incentivize us to really have respect not only for that history, but what role it still can play, not only on the athletic side, and we'll get into, you know, how athletics, in a sense, helps out colleges. Sometimes people don't understand that relationship. But again, just wanting to point out, you know, just even our own community recognizing exactly what our HBCU did for, you know, in a sense, for these leagues. And it's almost blasphemous that there are only one or two or zero this past year that are being drafted, considering that, in a sense, I would offer that those leagues might not be as prosperous as they are if they didn't have the history of being able to select those HBCU athletes, if you will. So any thoughts on that, Queen?
Yeah, you know, there's two things that I think of, and Coach Scott Bortle, one of them is that, sure, there, you know, we hear about the Jerry Rices and the more prominent players, but, you know, I can think of two Howard players, Jimmy Johnson, and as Coach Scott mentioned, Antoine Bethea, who, you know, went on to the NFL and did very well. But the one thing that it does happen when you do bring in, you know, the Deion Sanders of the world or whatever, is it does shine a brighter light onto the HBCUs and their leagues that we didn't have before, you know. When the news came out about, you know, Deion Sanders, you know, it was mixed emotions. Some people was like, yay, and some people was like, they just, you know, whatever. And so, but, you know, there's always a silver lining. There's always a way to look at it as a positive. You know, my concern is what, you know, I mentioned before, is just as long as they're coming in with good faith and being able to create that safe space for our young men. And but it also opens a lot of doors. Let's face it. You know, you bring in someone like that, that person has access to other people, other celebrities, other prominent people who can perhaps support in bringing in funding, you know, getting better sponsors, you know, better donations, whatever that may be, you know. Let's face it, at the end of the day, universities are businesses, and they want to bring in as much money as they can bring in to support the school. And so so it can definitely be a positive thing when you look at it in that way.
No, I definitely would agree with that. And, you know, sometimes people get lost on that, as you said, a university is a business, and it plays a huge role in, you know, unfortunately, how universities are looked at, and particularly HBCU. So definitely can see again how that light being shined, you know, in a sense, from these athletes that already have a platform, how it can be helpful. But I would love to highlight, as you said, your concern is, again, is it being done in good faith? I think that's, you know, unquestionable with Deion, although, you know, some people might not realize that he just really who he is, if you will. So I think that mm-hmm. comes with the territory, which is a beautiful thing in reference to him, you know, as we heard, you know, Shannon and Snoop said he loves those babies. So that's obviously, and that's what, you know, Coach Scott pointed out as well, that that's the number one thing, you know. But speaking of safe spaces, you know, ultimately that's what has always been the strength of HBCUs, whether we're in athletics or not. That's always been the strength and the selling point. So Coach Scott, if I, you know, in a sense, would go back to you, is just, you know, what is that dialogue? Obviously, you're kind of getting settled into position in a very unique year with everything with the pandemic, not having a full season. But I'm pretty sure that is the selling point, because we all understand that college football is absolutely big business, and we hear the horror stories of kids, in a sense, being thrown away. And that's something that I think is a credit to the HBCUs. That's typically not what's going to happen if a parent is out there considering, you know, or having concerns with that. That's one concern that the HBCUs don't have to concern them with, because that's one of their competitive advantages. Any thoughts on that, Coach Scott?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, I tell parents all the time through the recruiting process, you know, it's my job, it's our job, it's our coach's job to help you put your head down on the pillow at night, every night, and know that he's in good hands, and know that your son's in a space and in a place where he can truly develop into the young man that you've raised, and that we're just an extension of you. And how you raise them, and it's up to us to continue that during this pivotal and critical 4 to 5 year stretch in a young person's life, because those years absolutely set the chart and chart the path for where, you know, for where life goes from here on out for the next 40 years. So I'll absolutely, and I think that, you know, in that space, you talk about a facet of different, an array of different things, and it all revolves around development. You know, develop, teach, mentor, discipline, do all the things that during those critical years that are going to take and propel a young man forward, and you do it in a very nurturing, you know, environment, where whether that's through tough love at times and the discipline and accountability that comes with that, or being able to just put your arm around a young man sometimes and love on him the way that you're supposed to, you know, athletically, academically, you know, socially, financially, whatever it is that it is. You know, I tell our staff all the time, our job is to, and, you know, how are we going to beat people and make people, you know, help these young men be successful and us be successful as a program, is we're going to outdevelop. We're 100% going to make everything that we do about, you know, developing these young people holistically. And then that's going to be the secret and the sauce as to why we win. We never lose in our program. We talk about it. We don't use the word lose. We learn. From everything that we happens to us, whether good or bad, there's something to learn from it so that we can continue to grow. So you're absolutely right. It's about that space that comes through true development and mentorship as you build people and build young men in our program. So absolutely, I totally agree with that.
Love it. I love that thought of outdeveloped. That's cold right there. I definitely respect that as being a tenet of what y'all do and specifically to your program. So definitely respect that. Catherine, if you will, you know, let's be honest about, in a sense, some of the stigmas that are in our own community at this point. Again, just throwing out that concept of glory and thinking of past glory. But again, just talking about, you know, as we hear Coach Scott literally highlight, again, what his competitive advantage is of how he's going to be able to take care of those students. Is there's a part of our community that says, hey, the HBCUs, you know, that's what they are. That's what their strength is. But, you know, the reality around the country is, you know, there are a lot of HBCUs, in a sense, losing some of, you know, their enrollment, if you will. And I think a lot of that is associated with, you know, in a sense, some of the stigmas about our HBCU. So, again, we do this show highlighting the athletics, hoping to ultimately highlight the HBCUs themselves. But any thoughts or, you know, any stigmas that come to mind that people are still maybe missing the boat on what the competitive advantages of even just attending the HBCU in general, not just through athletics?
You know, the biggest stigma out there is that it's not a higher education. It doesn't provide the same type of education and resources as a PWI, which is so false. And let's face it, you know, with anything or any business, there's going to be some businesses that do it very, very well and some businesses that, you know, might be struggling. And that could be the same case with HBCUs. But, you know, I've heard many a days where people have been like, oh, I don't want my child to go to an HBCU. I want him to go to a PWI because they need to be around, you know,
others.
You know, white people, others. They need to be around white people and learn, you know, and be able to connect and engage. And sure, that provides its advantages. But let me tell you something. My experience at Howard prepared me so well to go out and to interact with any and anybody that I come across with. And not only to be able to interact with, but to understand my role as I go into, you know, coming out mm-hmm. of college and going and working in companies where I was the only black person in the company or in the department, and understanding my role in terms of how I need to present myself, how I need to act in order to keep that door open for others to follow me. And so, which is huge, which is so important in terms of just knowing what your responsibility is. But again, you know, my Howard experience prepared me so well on how to, and I didn't have to be, you know, around a huge culture.
No, I love it. We're actually up against the break. No, we're actually up against the break, but I love that the example you just gave, and people don't realize that, like you said, being in one of those rooms where you were the only black, they would might think, as you said, just because of the stigmas, that you would be less prepared. But the reason you're more prepared is because you're so assured of yourself, which is you know, mm-hmm. which is the number one thing that you need in that mm-hmm. environment, versus someone going to a PWI still trying to figure out how to acquiesce and figure it out. And I don't say this and I don't say that. The one thing about HBCU
exactly.
grads, they never fear that moment. They
right.
never fear that moment. They never fear that moment.
Exactly.
But we are up against the break, so let's run to this break. And we're going to, you know, obviously take it right back to this question. Lori, for anybody out there listening, we are going to open up the phone lines. The number is 646-787-1691. 646-787-1691. Press 1 to let us know that you want to speak. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
You even tweeted that this year 256 players were drafted and not
one.
One from HBCU.
Right.
I don't like that
I'm
stat.
I'm changing all that.
But I understand that stat, Prime, because y'all cannot compete with the teams that have so much resources. Those Power Five, Prime, yeah. you cannot compete with the Power Five.
So how do you compete with them? You bring in a conduit for change. You bring in a conduit for change. Everything starts with the mind first. Let's attack the mind and understand how can we level the playing field. First of all, I don't want to level nothing. I want to have the advantage. Mm. I want to have the advantage. Now, you mean to tell me that this brother here coming out of the heart of Miami is better suited to go somewhere like that than come to me?
Yes.
When I speak his language, when I know his voice, when I know his needs and I know his wants, and I set right where he set. How is that? So now you into the glamour. So if you into the glamour and the glitz, I want you to go over there where you want to go. But if you into the real, if you into the genuine, if you into let's build this thing and let's get up out of this mess and never look back, hey, you need to ride with me.
You go to Florida, you go to Florida State, you go to Florida. Man, this is a one-way ticket to the NFL.
It seems as though. But it wasn't a one-way ticket until we made it that way. Mm-hmm. Florida wasn't birthing people left and right till them cats start rolling through there like that. They made the way. Mm. Florida State, shoot, we wasn't a program like it is. The Prime got there. You know, all these other kids, the UM one like that, and Tamel B and all them got there. So it took a group of us to provoke change. Why can't we be the change for us?
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you on the aspect that the glitz and the glamour. That's cool. Now, if I had all that, now there's a competitive advantage. Now we saying, okay, now apples to apples, I'm going with my brother. But it's not like that. I got to get it like that. Success is oftentimes, as a coach, quantified by wins and losses. It's not that for me because I'm a winner, so I can't quantify by that. Because I'm not just looking at Jackson for me. I'm going to take that at we're going to win. I'm a big picture type guy. I'm looking at the whole HBCU. How can I get us on national television every darn week? I guarantee you enrollment should be up, not just at Jackson, all HBCUs, the exposure. The NFL calls for these kids. Everything we've already, Pepsi deal, we've got shoe contracts. We've got everything that hadn't been done yet. So I look at it as a global thing. Not global. I'd look at it as a national thing.
But what he just said, though, Chan, think about it. He just said, now you got Hampton, you got Howard, you got FAMU, you got BCC on ESPN, not ESPN 15. Because one man went out there and said, I'll be the first. So now we talking about expansion leads to exposure. Like, it's going to change. Like, that's the mindset. It's like, now you, what happened? Eddie George goes and says, you know what, I'm going to go.
Tennessee State.
Yeah, Tennessee. Hugh Jackson goes and says, I'm going to go. It's changing. It's changing. So now, like, that's, it's we just got to support it. That's how I feel. You know?
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Catherine Boxfield. This morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Our special guest is head coach Larry Scott, Howard U. As we hear another cut from Dion being on I Am Athlete, a very poignant cut from that actual show, just pointing out the long-term perspective, which is what I love when I hear Dion kind of break down how he looks at winning, similar to, as you said, Coach Scott, you don't use the word lose. And so when I hear him point out the long-term goal, I really appreciate it, not only for the HBCUs, but it's something we can learn quite often with a lot of our problems in our community. I don't think we take long-term approaches. So I really appreciate that about what Dion had to say in particular, you know, to the HBCU athletes. But Coach Scott, any thoughts on, you know, Dion, if you will, lay out on the long-term goal and how he hopes to affect change at all the HBCUs.
Oh, man, that's deep. And I think at the end of the day, again, intrinsic motivation. You know, what intrinsically is motivating you to be where your feet are, okay? And that's – and you know, we all come into a place in life. I mean, I went to a PWI. I've coached at the University of South Florida. I've coached in those programs he talked about, the University of Miami. Was the interim head coach at the University of Miami for half a season and went to a bowl game. Was the offensive coordinator, the first black coordinator in Tennessee football's history in 120 years. And was at the University of Florida when this job came calling. And so my intrinsic motivation was something totally different than most. I could have stayed exactly where I was, right where I was. As soon as I took the job here, 6 months into taking the job, I get a call from Nick Saban in the University of Alabama about joining the staff at Alabama. But at the same time, the same reasons why I left the University of Florida to take on this opportunity are the same reasons why I turned down the University of Alabama to stay at Howard University. Your intrinsic motivation and long-term goal of building something. My grandmother used to say to me all the time, there's two types of people in this world, those that watch things happen and those that make things happen. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm all about. And that's the recruiting pitch. Hey, we're coming here. Yeah, sure, we don't have the 30,000, 35 or 40,000 seat stadium, but we're going to build one. You know, of course, we don't have all the glitz and glamour in the locker rooms and all those type of things, but that's what we're here to do. Do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of something really, really special that you look back on and create a legacy for yourself? And you know, as a human being, as a person, and not just use the ability that God gave you for the benefit of what? For the benefit of who? Where if you have a deeper reasoning and an intrinsic motivation to be an impactor, to be a person that wants to build something special. And I think these are the opportunities that are presented to us here at HBCUs. And particularly I'm talking about my HBCU now is Howard, and honorary or not, I've made it mine. And I want to continue to help build it and continue to build the infrastructure. And we got, to build and grow, we got to start to build from the inside out as well. We got to continue to build the infrastructure to allow more students to have more beds on campus, to do all of those type of things to continue to grow the brand and grow the university for enrollment and all of those type of things. So absolutely, I 100% agree with him. It just makes you smile because there are still people in this world that have been placed in this world to impact and bring upon change and move the needle, so to speak, and have a different approach and way of doing things. And that's me through and through. And so it's really exciting. Now, 100%, agree with what Dion's saying. And it's long-term because we think so. We got to build it.
Hey, love. Catherine, your thoughts? We're going to go to a caller.
Yeah, I agree with the when one wins, we all win. it again, it just is able to shine a light on our universities that we are so deserving of. You know, Howard is been getting a lot of shine and a lot of light over the past couple of years, and you know, and we've been benefiting greatly from that. And you know, and some, you know, we've had the haters out there, and some of the haters have been at other HBCUs that have been like, they're getting, you know, have something to say, but it's like realizing that, you know, we can all win in this. And it's just about the other universities being able to take advantage of these situations and also figuring out how they can leverage them. It's like, you know, jump on it. We see it. Let us reach out to Google or, you know, or these other corporations that are providing grants and programs and whatnot. And so I definitely think that, once one wins, there's always the potential for the others to win. And I certainly, you know, welcome it. I welcome it.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, Coach Scott already gave us just a personal example within the program, just having the evaluators there on a consistent basis as a result of, as you know, him being willing to big up Dion over at Jackson State. He's reaping a benefit, and so that's exactly what you're talking about. Like, they don't need to be hating on the Mecca out there, right? And there was, you know, I do my homework. You know, don't be hating on the Mecca. Don't hate on the Mecca.
Don't hate on the Mecca.
Yeah,
be don't hate on the Mecca. You know, it's we've been working hard. You know, we've been working hard through the years. And if I can add one other thing is that,
yeah,
you know, I thank Coach Scott, because he could have took advantage of going someplace that, you know, who knows, that was playing him maybe twice, triple.
Big buck.
You know, I don't know what Howard was paying him. And so, you know, we appreciate that, but that's what we need. And I think that's over the past, you know, couple of years because of our political situation, because of Black Lives Matter, you know, folks are opening their eyes and really starting to consider their heartstring, more so than their money financial string, in terms of, you know, where they can make an impact. You know, you're even seeing these big ball players, basketball players, football players who could go to these big schools who are now pivoting and coming to HBCUs now. Because they're seeing it and they're feeling it, and they're understanding what's going on out there in the world, but they're also understanding their value, and what feels good to them, and where they would be better fit to go.
Yeah, absolutely. When you start getting that long term outlook, and like you said, that value, which is a part of long term, that's where you see people make those type of decisions. Area code 314, last 3953. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good discussion, Montoya. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Brother Pianke, how you doing, King, out of St. Louis? Appreciate you. What you got for us, King?
I would say Happy Father's Day to you, but you ain't jumped the broom.
I got to get you to the wedding invite first. I got to get the wedding invite to you first, brother. We'll get a child running around here. But go ahead, King. Thanks for calling in.
Now, I'm not hating on anything, but let's face the reality. Colleges is where your first thing is academics. Now, if you can get into college through athletics, that's good too. But the first thing in college is academics. And the problem that starts is starting at your elementary level. I give you an example. Everybody remember East St. Louis. East St. Louis had a national recognized high school football team under Coach Shine. That doesn't exist anymore. And if you look at the math proficiency in East St. Louis High School, it's less than 5%. Reading, less than 13%. That's where the problem starts, because when those kids reach college, they have to go through all this nurturing and so on and so on and so on. That should have been done at the elementary level. Because you go to college, you're sitting up there in a classroom, you may have adults that's coming out of business world. Another point, the thing that Deion made comments about, the same thing that they made comments about at Grambling, is the resources, the equipment room. Now, if a alumni or if people of concern is concerned about that thing, then they got to contribute in order to build those things up. If you got a black research professor that's carrying $10, $15, $20, $25 million worth of grant money following them, coming from some industry, it's very unlikely they're gonna go to HCBU. They're going to a TWI. I mean, we just got to face it. And if you're going to face it, then you have to up what's needed in order to make these institutions attractive. I take my hat off for what Deion is trying to do over at Jackson State and the young man that's on here with you. But it's going to take more than that. LSU's got over 35,000 students. My grandson went there. If you take football, basketball, and track, you're talking about maybe 225 students. Well, what's up with the rest of them? They there for the academics. And that's, I mean, that's just the way it is. But that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you for the tough thoughts. We're actually up against the break, so we will hear the responses of our guest and myself come out of the break. But Brother Pianca, you know, the caller, you can get back in if you like. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Ain't nobody from HBCUs get drafted. Yeah, that jumped out to me. What you mean, anything jump out to me? Yeah, that jumped. That bungee jumped. That did the nay-nay and the dougie. At the same, and the Cabbage Patch, and the Rock. That. Y'all don't remember the Rock. You know when you just rock, you just walk right there. You know when Max Jack said, I want to rock with you all night.
Okay, I didn't know if that was the Whispers.
No, that wasn't the Whispers.
Could have been.
That's
could have been them
good.
Too.
But all that jumped out at
but
me.
How
does that happen?
I think I know how it happens. And can I give an excuse?
No, I want you to keep it 100. Because
keep it 100.
Because I could defend and I could go
I'm going to keep it 100.
I'll keep it 100.
Don't
sugarcoat it now because I'm here. No, don't do that. Go. I want you to be the advocate for the opposing side.
Okay.
Just build a case.
Oh, build a case for the other side.
Yeah.
Well, Deion,
you don't have to do the voice. Just build a case for the other side.
The other side, simply that we had to limit our resources because of COVID. We had to be more strategic in our decision-making on exactly who we put out in the field, what tape we got, what tape we paid attention to for whatever reason. I don't buy much of that. But and so, therefore, we decided the low-hanging fruit would be to
omit. This ain't the first year, though. This ain't the first year.
But you asked me to come over here.
All I'm saying is it almost seems to the naked eye impossible to say there is not one player that's worthy of a draft choice. That's hard for me to fathom. When I coached against them, this ain't hearsay, dog.
Right.
I was there. I seen corners, linemen, defensive end, offensive line.
Fat little defensive tackles.
Why you got to be fat?
They were a little bit.
Why you call them?
They had little.
Then they going to say that's why they ain't drafted, because they was built wrong.
You said it was built wrong because if you can play, you can play.
Said,
I saw the dudes making tackles.
You
I
said
saw,
fat.
They was fat. Yeah, most pork chop. They're fat.
Well,
defensive tackles are fat.
I saw some young men
that move around great
that can really play the game
right
at that level. and I know that level.
Right.
So this cannot happen again. What do they need to do?
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host, Catherine Boxhill. Can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Our special guest is head football coach, Howard University, Larry Scott. Thank you both, King and Queen, for being on with us this morning. Before we dig into the cut, you know, specifically talking about, you know, no NFL players being drafted, I think, again, Deion points out some amazing things. But before we get in there, let's deal with some of what we heard Brother Pianki say before the break. I wanted to get, you know, both of your thoughts on some of what you heard. Catherine, I'll actually start with you. Anything that, you know, Brother Pianki called in to kind of just express his, and that's what we do here, is honest dialogue. You have to agree with us or nothing like that. We like to have honest dialogue and not sugarcoat it, mentioned in that clip. But any thoughts on what Brother Pianki said in reference, you know, his thoughts on this morning's question?
Oh, my goodness, you have to say the honest dialogue, right? Because what he was talking about is just it's a whole nother deep breath conversation. And he is certainly right in terms of resources and what that means. Pausing because I'm like, okay, honest dialogue.
Don't pause. We not that show.
I'm gonna go there. But just speaking of Howard, and I love my alma mater, and I love my people that have come through Howard University, but we do have a shortage of folks who give back, and my frustration because I've been around. Since I got on Howard's campus, I've been around athletics because I was in the marching band, and then after that, I became the coordinator of the alumni there. So I come to the football games. I go to the basketball games. And, you know, there's people who will complain about the size of the stadium or the size of the band or just various complaints. And it's, the frustration is that people have to give back and understand how important your giving back is. One of the things for the alumni band is because we got tired of hearing about, you know, school cutting back budget and funding for the band, is that we decided to take matters into our own hands. And so through what we've been able to do is, through collecting dues and so forth, we've been able to create a scholarship fund. It's not a lot, but, you know, we give a couple of thousand here and there to the band students. And then the end of last year, beginning of this year, because the band is in desperate need of uniforms, they are like a pin from falling apart. Now, while the university said they were going to get uniforms for the band, we understand how challenging that can be. And so we stepped up and had a fundraiser. And so we were able to raise half of what is required for uniforms, which is a good chunk of change.
Right.
And so through that, it's like we understand our responsibility for, the people that I work with, and shout out to Rasai Elliott, who is my coordinator for the alumni band, is we understand that if it's to be, it's up to me, you know, it's up to us, and we have to step into support because we understand that the university, you know, always have all of the funding that is required, or they might need to, you know, set it aside for something else, you know, whatever that may be, that, you know, or it could be sometimes that the band is just not, if we're talking about honest, the band is just not that important to the university as it is to some other folks, so that, you know, we have to step up. But it's not just about the band, it's about the university as a whole and for alumni giving to increase so we can consider, you know, a stadium or better equipment or being able to attract coaches such as Coach Scott and attract you know, players to come in, because it's all a domino effect, you know.
Exactly.
It's all a domino effect. You know, you have to attract the players, the coaches, you know, to come in. But certainly, from what the caller was saying, is that athletics is definitely important. And, you know, how it is in a, I'm not athletics, I mean education.
Academics.
Academics is very important because, you know, because that is what makes the world go round in terms of being able to better yourself and go forth. And Howard doesn't fortunately have an issue in that way. They've definitely been increasing their criteria in terms of SAT scores and GPAs. These kids are so smart. you know, under these standards now, I wouldn't have got into Howard.
I respect it. I definitely respect it. But I love how you said it goes hand in hand. If I could jump in here, because I got a caller as well.
Yeah.
But I love how it goes hand in hand. I think it's the perfect place, Coach Scott. You know, when you say you have that long-term approach, and that's why you, in a sense, were willing. We're going to get more into your story of just even the concept of having, in a sense, to turn down a Nick Saban, if you will. But the domino effect, even with Brother Pianchi pointed out, at LSU, that's only 200 students compared to all the others that go there. But the domino effect of why some of those kids choose schools, it often is because they love a team. And so that's an aspect that I'm assuming that, you know, in drawing those type of coaches, in drawing those type of players, you were expecting to have that domino effect that Deion mentioned. Like, this is not just about what he does and wins and losses on the field, but he wants to see enrollment up at HBCU. So that's the domino effect. Your thoughts on that before I go?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I witnessed it at PWIs. It's the same deal. You know, the cameras, the exposure, the success through athletics really drive the engine behind the university growth. We used to joke all the time. You know, after a successful season or a big bowl win or something like that, there'll be a crane or two pop up all of a sudden on campus, and there's some building going on.
It's directly tied, hand in hand. It's directly tied.
Yes, it does.
Let me get this caller in before the break, if you don't mind, Coach. Area code 502, last 3283. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Hey, Lamar, or Montour here. What's going on, man? This is Brent House.
What's up, B-Funk? Thanks for calling in, King Scott Force.
No doubt. Great discussion. I want to first do a fact check on Brother Pianchi. He going to call me after the show, and we're going to argue about some things and politic about it. But I live in a community next door to East St. Louis, O'Fallon, Illinois. And let me tell you, East St. Louis is still doing it big. They get brothers, CBC is where Zeke Elliott went to school at. They get brothers transferring from CBC in St. Louis to East St. Louis because they're still doing it. They got to travel around the country to get teams to compete with them. The district that I was on the school board for advocated for a rule to keep East St. Louis from playing – what do you call it, out of district schools, so that they wouldn't have to compete against them. They couldn't compete outside of level, so 4A to 6A, mm-hmm. something like that.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
The superintendent actually said, you know, now maybe some other people can get some championships. My homeboy who lives down the street from me, Mark Chambers, is a coach at the basketball school, won the state championship at East St. Louis in 2019. Would have won it in 2020, but the season cut short. And I just say that to say these are the, you know, to point out one little aspect of that, we pass on policies that are holding schools back, that are producing talent, and, you know, there's a whole history of things that go with that. But I just wanted to fact check that a little bit with Pianchi. But my question, part of my question.
Hey, matter
is,
fact, we do this because we are at the top of the hour, so you know, you've been you a regular caller as well. So let me just do this break, and I'll bring you all. You need to come out of the break before, so you can ask your question.
Sounds good.
All right, there we go. One of our favorite longtime sponsors, Square Business Entertainment, this is their artist, Taylor Pace. We're bringing y'all, as I always like to say, that real R&B. So hopefully y'all enjoy this cut, and we'll be back with our special guest, co-host Captain Box Hill, as well as our special guest, Coach Larry Scott. We'll be right back, but all I ask is that you think.
Can capture all your sweetness and your kindness. Love can define us. We're crippled and love would only blind us. Well, love can define us. It has to be the Lord that's behind us. Oh, love can define us. Once in a lifetime you will find us. Just when I thought dreams wouldn't come true, I pray for guidance, and God led me straight to you. And you made it clear from the start, there were no games I could play. So I left, but I came back, and now I'm here to stay. Love can define it, can capture all your sweetness and your kindness.
And that's what Prime going to be able to do. He's going to be able to put some light on those historic black college universities that need that and that deserve that.
Absolutely right, because now you're getting somebody that comes sits on your couch and he can tell your mom or your grandma or family member or whomever is in charge. It's like, yeah, I know your son. Now, your son has what it takes to get to the next level. I would like to help your son get to that next level. But by the same token, now I'm going to make sure he goes to class. I'm going to make sure he graduates. I'm going to make sure he becomes a better person, a better man, a better person in the community. Because, you know, a lot of times they promise that. But what happens when that kid can no longer help them win games?
Man, they cut you out once the season over. I mean, once the visit over with, you wreck them. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like the HBCU is more of a brotherhood and a fraternity of brothers who look out. Whether it's good or bad, whether you have an athletic position in life, they want to make sure you got a position in life in general. Like, they want to make sure that you're financially taken care of, that you're mentally stable, that you have a job, you're secure, and that your kids and your generation of people can keep going to this university, because HBCUs are basically generational schools to
yep.
where my grandma went there, my whoop-de-wop went there. So it's a traditional thing. It's not like these universities.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Special guest co-host Catherine Boxer, the special guest head coach Larry Scott, Howard University. Have a caller on the line, Brent House, or as I affectionately call him, a brother of mine known as B-Funk. If you will, King, go ahead and ask your question this morning as
yeah, thanks for that. You know, one of the struggles that I did think about when I look at black colleges, we also have one of our alums from the Air Force Academy coaching at Kentucky State now. That was my dream school coming out of high school, was going to Kentucky State and all of that, but ended up going to the Air Force Academy. But one of the things I think about now, even the young kid I heard about going to Howard, I think the basketball player, who was a top, you know, 100 recruit, I think, something like that. You know, it was a decision of conscience. And when we choose HBCUs now, it's always a decision of conscience and it versus the opportunities that we miss out that we get when we go to a PWI. And I wonder how that factors into, you know, and Snoop, I think that was a cut from Snoop.
Yeah, that was Snoop on Shannon Sharp's show. Uh-huh.
And it sounds like he's kind of saying the same thing with the, you know, the legacy and what goes into being a generational opportunity or you know, sticking to what we know. So I wonder how much that factors into his recruiting. One of the things, you know, and has he also thought about one of the things I liked at the Air Force Academy, we were all there on academic scholarships. If we didn't want to play football, we just say we walk off the field and we still get our academics. Are schools able to offer that kind of thing? And then for your other caller, the question is, how do we become more creative? And she talked about, you know, grants that are out there, and those are things, challenges I see in a lot of institutions. How do we get into, or how do we be creative about bringing revenue into our schools? And she kind of touched on it. I wonder if she could expand on it, you know, going out to these companies and seeing what kind of, and putting the onus on them to start investing in our schools.
Now, I like both of those questions. I'm going to start with Coach Scott on the first question, just in reference to, I think if I understood your question, Brent, was Coach Scott, if you will, answer this. He's just talking about, you know, in a sense, how much are you using some of the things that we heard Snoop say in your pitch to these students about, you know, these our HBCUs, obviously for you in particular, Howard being an opportunity. But, yeah, what are you using, in a sense, to do that, if you will, Coach Scott?
I think the idea and concept, truly, we always start with, you know, with family and the environment in which, you know, you're going to put yourself into to grow. The networking opportunities, the people, the range of people that you meet here at Howard, from L.A. to, you know, all over the world, really, and the networks and different relationships and things that you get to build outside of just being a football player. I like to refer to it as, you know, coming to school at Howard and living in a world class city like Washington D.C. is an education in itself. Just that aspect of it. So being able to help these young people have a vision for what they want to do in life and how this experience can help shape the rest of their life. Just outside of football, and a lot of times I don't even mention football. We're talking about life building and the opportunities that come as a result of being a student athlete at Howard University is it's the gift that I often refer to it as the gift that just keeps on giving. I've seen guys go through, you know, 4-year, 5-year programs at PWIs, and after they're done there and their time is done there, there's nothing for them on the other side of it. You know, that they can benefit from or stand on. Here, when you're a Howard grad, just the networking base, the alumni, the prestige that comes with putting that degree on your wall at home or in your office is always the seed that opens the door to the conversations. It's the seed that opens the network opportunities to continue to you know, to grow financially and those type of things. And actually, it's like, you know, fine wine. The older it gets, the longer you're away from it, you know, the more enriched you become because of that experience at Howard. So just kind of helping to shape what this experience, this 4 or 5 year experience, can do for them way beyond just playing football and when they're done. So absolutely, I lean hard on those things and really, really use that as an angle to help young people have a vision for what that can look like for them later on down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Our HBCUs definitely work very hard to make sure that plaque goes on the wall, and a lot of PWIs will throw you away and won't care, you know, that you get that plaque on the wall, or they sent you through a general studies program and the plaque is not worth anything in the market. It's crazy. I was helping one of my club here, you know, under the same name, by Mental Dialogue. I was helping one of my members last night, and she just so happened, not because she knew I was doing this show, but she just so happened to talk about, you know, knowing, you know, been an athlete and, you know, really just kind of flailing after having, you know, spent time in a D1 program. And, you know, she was mostly distraught about, like, oh, man, the coaches make all their money and, you know, out there and whatever. So that's one thing that we definitely should highlight is rarely going to happen to you with the HBCU experience. Catherine, if you will, to answer the second Brent's question, you know, just getting into, like you said, reaching out to these companies and just not even highlight this.
getting that Pepsi deal, coming through. Because for example, big as a business that the NFL is or whatever, they don't care if people are in the stadiums because the money comes from the TV money. And so like a domino effect, if we're able to get our HBCUs on TV, then we'll might not have to do, for the band, I'll get you real. But yeah, any creative thoughts on how to keep expanding? Well, Catherine.
Yeah, the one thing that I think about is networking. And you know, if it's a smaller school or one that is not as recognized or one that is networking. If you see another HBCU is being able to take advantage of different grants or, you know, companies, sponsorships, is perhaps reaching out to, you know, the coaches there or the president of the school there to discuss how they did it. And perhaps, that's what networking is about. how did you do it? And can you get me a meeting, with the person at Google that you deal with? That's my first thought is networking. And one thing that, you know, sometimes in our community we don't do well at because, you know, you don't want to ask, or how do you look if I ask, or, you know, I don't want to be a burden, or, you know, whatever that is, people's conversations sometimes about going and speaking to people because they do it at those PWIs, you know. That's how they take care of business. And so, you know, that's my first thought that you know, I can think about is you know, going to
the makes sense. Source. Yeah, I'm listening to you speak. Oh, I'm sorry, Catherine. I'm sorry. I thought you were.
No, yeah, just going to the source from them that they can get you in the door to speak to the powers that be.
Yeah, I wonder just in listening to you talk, because I went to the Air Force Academy. So this is how I know Brent, who's on. I'm going to let him get one last thought in. But as I listen to you, yeah, my wonder is there a lot of coordination between the schools? Because we've dealt with this conversation in a lot of realms. And, you know, we do see, you know, certain schools in a sense at certain times, you know, whether they're struggling financially. I think Morris Brown recently, which is a highlight, not something negative, got their full accreditation back here recently. So that's something to highlight. But I do wonder to what degree are all of the HBCUs working together. I'm an outsider looking in, so I don't know to what degree it happens. But it sounds like, you know, more of that matter. Brent, just a real quick thought. We got a couple of other callers, but I just know I asked a couple of questions, so I don't know if I. Go ahead, King. Any last thoughts before I let you go? Brent, did I get you back in? Maybe I didn't get him back in. All right, so the other callers out there, if you're trying to get in, you do need to press 1 to let us know. You want to speak, so I see 504-647. If you are trying to get in on the discussion, you do need to press 1. If you're online and want to get in on this morning's discussion, 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. Again, you have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We're about a minute and a half before the break. I definitely want to get into some of your story, particularly Coach Scott, in a sense, making that decision. You've kind of given us some insight on how you made that decision to remain at Howard Alabama, in a sense, comes knocking. But, you know, just want to dialogue about, in a sense, how the coaching carousel goes to a degree. I have a best friend who was in high school coaching for a long time, so I'm kind of familiar with some of the, if you will, some of the politics, some of the aspirations, but to a degree, I think it's fair to say, we'll say this and then we'll go to break, but isn't it fair to say that to a degree, even coaches recently or in recent past, if you will, or recent history, to a degree, HBCU was really just kind of a stop with bigger aspirations. So I think that's why you choosing to stay was so highlighted somewhat in the media and why I wanted to bring you on. So if you could just give a quick thought, because we do have a break, and then we'll come back and get more into that story after the break.
Yeah, I mean, it's real quickly, it's just, again, you know, what's your why? What truly intrinsically motivates you to do, you know, to do what it is that we do? And, it's, you know, for me, it's just the young, it's the impact, you know, young people's lives and then, you know, not taking it, you know, and to take advantage of having an opportunity to do it here with young men that look like my children, that look like my sons, that look like me, sound like me, and have, you know, and see the world and have gone through some of the, walk through this world the same way that I had to at their age and that I continue to now as a man.
No, I love it. I will be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? We'll be right back.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk. They still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Soccer. This morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Our special guest co-host is Captain Boxhill, as well as special guest Larry Scott, head coach at Howard University. And again, just wanted to dig more into that decision. As you said, the intrinsic value, you know, what it means to your children down the line. A lot of people couldn't have done that. And even the last caller highlighted the idea of, in a sense, for students attending an HBCU quite often is looked at as a, in a sense, a conscious decision, in a sense, versus an opportunity. Clearly, you see this as both, Coach Scott. So, again, I know you kind of delved into, in a sense, your why, you know, if you will. But, you know, in a sense, you being an example, if you will, you know, what do you say to others, whether it be students or fellow coaches that that may want to, in a sense, because I think if you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think right now there's a nice opportunity, again, relating it to this morning's discussion, where you have the Eddie Georges, the Deion Sanders, Ed Reed has mentioned he wants to do it. You know, famous linebacker Ray Lewis is saying he wants to come back and do it. So there's a real, true opportunity, not just a conscious decision, if you will, to doing what you do. I think that's a fair thing to state right now. Your thoughts on that, Coach?
Yeah, there is. And I think at the end of the day, it's just like anything else in life. If you actually just sometimes hit the brakes and really pause and look at it and look at, you know, the value of what it is that you're trying to do. I mean, what are you really trying to do? What does it really mean to you? What do you your time here, and we're all on borrowed time, obviously, and then life is truly for the living, to actually just, you know, pause and think about what impact do you want to make with your time here? What do you want that legacy to look like, true and true, you know, for yourself, and whatever it is that you choose to commit yourself to? What do you want that to look like when that time comes, where, you know, it's all done, and it's all over with, and then you kind of want to look back on it and be like, you know what, that body of work is something that I'm very, very proud of, and meaningful, and had a lot of meaning to, and had a lot of value. And for me, it's just to be able to look back and say, man, I had a little bit, you know, I was involved a little bit with, you know, helping to make this world and the young men that I come and blessed to have an opportunity to come into contact with better versions, you know, of themselves each and every day and through the years. So I think, you know, just really, you know, hey, man, take pump the brakes, really take a look at what it is that you're trying to do. And in the end, just what do you want that to look like when you're done? And for me, that was really, really important. You know, I've had an array of experiences and been in a lot of big programs or what have you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, the work was still the work. Coach at the high school level, I've been a child abuse investigator. I mean, I've done a little bit of it all. The work is still the work. At the end of the day, no matter the level that you're on or you coach at, the work is the work. So. Being able to look back on that body of work and making it something that you're truly, truly proud of.
No, I love it. I salute you for that. Let's go to some of the callers. Area code 504, last 3065. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
God bless everybody there. Enjoying everyone's comments. I want to congratulate Coach Scott and following the legacy of Dr. George Washington Carver. A brilliant scientist, went to Tuskegee University and had many opportunities to leave Tuskegee to work for the Ford Motor Company and other companies, but he decided to stay at the Black Institution and develop not only the institutions of Tuskegee, but he developed strong relationships with future Black scientists who were students of his. And so I just really admire Coach Scott for taking that stance and following in the legacy of Dr. George Washington Carver.
No, I love it. That's a beautiful statement. Again, you don't have to. Where are you calling us from? What's your name, King? But thanks for that 3 cents. If you have, you know, if that's what, I love it. If you have more, please jump in.
No, that was basically, I just tuned in, so I didn't get a chance to hear everybody's comments, but I did hear
that. Yeah, no problem. No, you're good. No, I love it. That's a great example. It's a perfect example, actually, when we think about all the work that, as you said, George Washington Carver did down at Tuskegee, and it really laid the blueprint, I think, for a lot of our HBCUs, if you will, to exist the way they do. So thank you for that 3 cents this morning. Appreciate you.
All right, take care now.
All right, no doubt. Area code 647, last 3050. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
So this is Patrick calling from Toronto. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Patrick? When you still up in Toronto, when you getting back to the States? I'm messing with you. Go ahead, King.
Beginning of next year, I'll be back.
I can dig it. Okay, so, cool. I like when you call in because it makes us sound like we're international. So go ahead, brother.
So big ups to the coach for staying at the university. I had a comment. I wanted to get the coach's thoughts on it. So as far as can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? I think it probably will take a lot more than just the coaches coming back. I think the coaches are one aspect of it. The rest of it, you know, the administrators, the athletic director, all of them have to be working in concert. People who go out and raise money for the programs, all for the sports programs and that kind of thing, to build the facilities, to draw in the recruits that's going to be needed, because the success of these programs are going to be based on wins and losses. That's just the way it is, in my view. So it's going to take more than just NFL coaches coming back. The school is going to have to be committed, and they're going to have to go forward. I mean, we've seen what happened already with McCurr-Maker at Howard coming in. Now, whether the school was ready for that or not, I mean, I guess it's up for debate. You know, McCurr-Maker coming in for basketball as a high recruit. I think there's going to have to be a concerted effort, and the school is going to have to be 100%, whatever school, HBCU, is going to have to be 100% behind the programs And, yeah, it's going to take more than just coaches, for sure. And I just wanted to get the, in my opinion, so I wanted to get the coaches' thoughts on that.
Coach Scott?
So, yeah, you know what, you're exactly right. It takes everybody from the top, from the very, very top, to the alumni base, to our annual givers, the president, provost, AD, the marketing department. It takes a, you're right, a very concerted effort by everyone pulling in the same direction to do that. Because at the end of the day, I like to say, it's buildings and facilities don't change programs. People change programs. And that's where it starts. And then those buildings and all of those things become, they become a product of, you know, a byproduct of the work that's being done by the people that are actually got their feet or boots on the ground making it happen. So totally agree with you 100%. It does take that. And then, you know, it takes also the mindset and idea that we're never done building. You know, how do we continue to, you know, add things? How do we continue to do things and out of the box, you know, have out of the box thoughts and things on how to continue to just get better each and every day, not finding complacency is important in that as well. And to your point, you know, that those type of things are the infrastructure. And McCormaker, had a chance to come in. He was at Howard and he was being coached by Coach Blakeney, who we all know his reputation and the places that he's been and coached and his ability to develop. So again, once you get in that gym, whatever gym that is, whether it seats, you know, one person or whether it seats, you know, 10,000 people, at the end of the day, the work that's being done is still being done by the coach and the player. It's still being done by the people. Now, do we have the all the other infrastructural things that it takes to develop from a nutritional standpoint and, you know, making sure we have the right people in place from a mental health standpoint, the science of, you know, strength and conditioning and all of those types of things, that's the infrastructure that it takes to develop at an elite level. And those are the things that we're working to on and adding into our program daily. That's been a commitment from, you know, our president, our AD, and different corporate sponsors and different things like that have gotten involved in the program to help us improve those areas to be able to do that. So that's a great observation, and you're totally right. It takes more than just an NFL coach coming back. And I want to say this, too, and be very clear with it. There's a lot of really good football coaches that didn't play in the National Football League. So it's not just about that tag of NFL coach that's going to change and move the needle for college for HBCUs and college athletics. It's still about just recruiting and retaining really good football minds and really good football people. And there are a lot more of them than guys that have to carry the NFL tag.
No, I love
yeah,
those thoughts. Go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
No, I agree wholeheartedly, and I just use the McCurr example because I know him. My son played on a team with him up here in Toronto, right? So, as far as recruiting is concerned, you know, it's very interesting. There are a lot of, I mean, and I'm sure the coach is aware, there's a lot of talent coming out of Canada, specifically the Toronto area, in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to those players and you talk to the parents, it's very interesting because they would love to send their child to Howard University. And these are kids that are actually going to D1 programs, but they would love to go to Howard University. There's no mechanism for them to, you know, even though they try to contact Howard and that kind of thing, there's still no mechanism for them to kind of reach out to say, hey, I'm a high, you know, level basketball player. I'd love to attend Howard. Case in point, there's a kid up here who has the highest vertical in Canada. Crazy kid. His parents would love for him to go to Howard. He's been courted by other Division I schools, but, you know, how do you make those connections, right?
On the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, live on the ads, how we do it, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's my number.
That's how you do it. The mechanism is you own the mechanism, brother.
You know, and I would love to tell the parents would be so proud to send their kids there. But they end up sending them to Iowa State, Texas Tech, those kind of schools. They end up getting these kids because they're giving them the best opportunity. There's no they don't know what Howard has to offer them from a basketball standpoint. the player I'm talking about now. And the parents, you know, would love it. So that's why people up here were very excited when the Kerr Maker went to Howard. They think, oh, right. Man, this opens it up. You know, these kids up here, yep. yo, I'm going to go to Howard and that kind of thing. You know, and I'm concerned that now that as the hype is gone, that the opportunity will be closed. The door will be closed.
Well, it has to start somewhere, and we can keep it growing. We're actually up against the break, Patrick, so thank you. As always, for your 3 cents of love when you call in, and if you want to get back in, come off the one and back on the one. For anybody out there listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that number is 646-787-1691. You do have to press one to let us know that you want to speak. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Can you feel it? The music's hidden. I'm going deep within your soul. I'm about to lose control, girl. Let's get with it. Don't be so serious. Tonight is only about us. Let's get back and have some fun. Lights are on the dance floor. Party's getting started, girl. Now the chance. Make the slogan matches. Don't know what I'm asking. Yeah. We don't need a reason to dance.
Yeah.
No, we don't need a reason to dance. Yeah. No, we don't need a. I'm on the finish.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya. A Black Socrates is another cut from Square Business Entertainment's Taylor Pace Dance. Go look them up on all music streaming platforms. Again, love them bringing us that real R&B, talking about love and not just sex, and enjoying dancing in a, you know, just in a regular radio. So definitely appreciate what Square Business Entertainment does and appreciate them as a sponsor. This morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? Our special guest co-host is Catherine Boxhill, as well as our special guest head football coach, Howard University, Larry Scott. Speaking of, you know, kind of moving it, if you will, to the basketball side of things, again, we've touched on these various shows about HBCUs from all types of levels, even one time exploring a show of what if top athletes started going back to HBCUs. We probably did that about a little over a year ago. And I remember on that particular show, again, speaking of basketball, the idea that if any sport could have that type of impact, and you know, kind of going back to the call of Patrick's very, very great question, but even in today's question, can former NFL players bring them the glory? I think we're just really meaning it as a catalyst, because absolutely, we've talked about it throughout the show, all of these things go hand in hand. But if there could ever be a catalyst, I think the move of that player going to Howard is an example. But what we talked about on that show, if there was any kind of impact that could immediately be had at the HBCU level, is if top basketball recruits, just because of the nature of that sport, if you had some of the top basketball athletes, if they wanted to go be a Fab Five at a Howard University, at a Jackson State, at, you know, at a Grambling, if they chose to do what to, you know, the Fab Five did an admission, all kind of team up on their own and say, we're going to go to this school. The impact of them going through and whooping all those bigger programs in the tournament, because that's exactly what would happen, because the talent would be there and send them to the right coach, that would have the biggest impact ever. And I call it out again because it's something I would love to see more players like the one that Patrick mentioned. It would be nice to see a few of them team up, because on the basketball side, it would be amazing. Any thoughts on that, Catherine, if you will, Queen? Thank you again for being my co-host this morning.
Yeah, you know, I think it speaks to some of the other things that were just talked about a little while ago in terms of how to build programs and keep people engaged and excited. You know, because it's great when you bring in a nationally known coach. It's great when a nationally known player comes in. But if you're not, if the university as a whole is not taking a holistic approach in terms of doing whatever they can do to keep growing and having the program thrive, then it's not going to thrive. and then those people who came in are not going to be able to build in terms of bringing others and saying, hey, come along. This is great. You should come here too. And so it has to be a total effort from top to bottom. But one thing I did want to talk about was the one and done thing that was mentioned previously. And that's, you know, my concern is when the nationally known people do come in, because since my time at Howard and now I think there's been maybe two coaches, maybe three that have stayed like 4 to 5 years or something like that. And that was Willie Jeffries and Gary Howell. And, you know, when they left, and they were great coaches. They were men who I felt were very engaged with the players, and the players loved them. And so when they left, you know, it was heartbreak. But then even recently when Mike London came, and again, great man, seemed to be very engaged with the players. And he was a nationally known coach. So through his magic, he was able to bring in Kalen Newton, which is Cam Newton's brother. And so here we're excited. We got this coach and we got this player. And then I think Mike London, Coach London, stayed a year. So it was like, so it was kind of like the one and, like, you know, one and done. And it was like heartbreak because you're like, here it is. You're thinking you're getting ready to build on something. And then, you know, and then they're gone. And so it's kind of that, you know, hoping for consistency when, and although you can't control what people do, because, you know, after all, it's life and people do what they feel is, you know, required for them in their life, their families or whatever. But you hope for that longevity so that you can build that program and that momentum and keep it going. So Coach Scott, please stay.
Well, yeah, let me throw this out if you will. So now I respect the perspective and we have the dialogue, and absolutely Coach Scott, you know, obviously he's you know, kind of held the shield on the first shot. And so you hear Catherine saying, when they come again, keep your shield up, brother. So I definitely respect the perspective of wanting that longevity. But I'll offer and kind of do this, you know, just kind of for dialogue, but I'll still, in a sense, offer devil's advocate. Again, just from the standpoint of not saying this is an end-all, be-all, or this is exactly what's needed, but I think shots in the arm, as a top-tier player, or like even the, you know, for example, you know, talking about, you know, kind of still along the lines of basketball, a lot of the major programs had to adjust to the one-and-done players. You know, Duke, for example, Duke University, kind of well known that they were, in a sense, one of the last major basketball powers to embrace the one-and-done thing, but it had become such a reality that you had to kind of, in a sense, learn to play in that arena. So I absolutely still think that if a band of, you know, one-and-done type players band together to make a deep NCAA run, I think we would benefit from the hype. Even if the school wasn't necessarily logistically ready for it, I would still charge and challenge young players to go do it. And the notoriety would ultimately, possibly in my mind, leave out the fallout of getting those schools on TV. Because again, TV money is the same money that these pro teams are chasing, more so than us paying $400 to be in the seats. So just a thought on my, yeah, you know, on my part. Larry, Coach Scott, if you will, your thoughts on that. We got another caller as well.
Yeah, I mean, I totally. Basketball is a sport. It is a sport where you can do that, because lo and behold, sometimes it only takes the right one player. A single player can elevate a program. In basketball. So, I mean, I can agree with that, and it's arguments on both sides to how much of that success do you want to be able to continue to have, and you know, I tell you, you can build a team in basketball, you can do that really quick, but then you know, where is the program on the backside of that? Are we building programs or are we building teams?
Let's go to the caller. Area code 647-9305-0. Give us your name, where you calling from. Well, you actually couldn't get back in, I think. This is Patrick, I believe, right? I just recognized the number again. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
I think, you know, for basketball and football as well as other sports, because HBCUs are behind a lot of the other schools, that one of the things that would help, and I kind of
behind in what regard? If you don't mind pointing
that out. The sports programs are a little behind, and you know, and I don't want to.
I just want to know what in what regard you're referring to. I'm not saying you're wrong.
They're a little behind with the athletic programs based on their based on their potential, because they have the potential to be so good, and so I think. Because they're a little behind, that there needs to be special channels that are opened up. A lot of times coaches have, you know, relationships with high school coaches and things like that. But I think that there needs to be a special channel opened up that will expose the kids that are a little bit higher level, that are thinking different schools, to have them consider a school like Howard. Right, I think there needs to be something progressive that will propel them forward, the schools forward, instead of using the traditional or conventional method. They need something a bit more progressive, and I'm just talking specifically about recruiting, that will propel them forward, that will start getting them access to the young men and women that are higher level players.
No, I respect that. Let me jump in real quick, Patrick, and just ask our guest. You know, you said special channel. I kind of, what do you think that might be? But before I have it, throw it back on you, Coach Scott, Catherine, any thoughts on what, in a sense, that, you know, again, he just used the term a special channel, some other form of some way to, in a sense, incentivize or recruit these type players. You know, any thoughts, you know, for you, you know, from that perspective?
Kevin, you can go ahead. You can go first.
I think, you know, you mentioned a little while ago Duke and how the one and done, you know, works for them. And I think to what your caller was saying is, you know, Duke is Duke, right? And Duke has a coach or had a coach that was, there forever. Their program is known, so they can afford to have a one or done. HBCUs, as the caller was just saying, and what I was thinking when you mentioned the Duke thing is, some of this can be new for them. So again, when I was just talking previously, is that we have to create some consistency so we are better known, understood for our value, so that when a one and done comes, that we're still thriving. I don't think we're like I for Howard, we're at that place that when a one and done comes, that we're still thriving. You know, because if we were, we would be in a different situation. So I think we have to have that consistency first, and that consistent name exposure and people hearing about us and seeing success stories and seeing longevity and consistency and stability to create those types of relationships.
Now, I respect where you're coming from. I think you're still in a sense on that dialogue. I'll just simply, if I will, just say this to you. So it's not that I'm even against the consistency, and I actually agree to that. I just think there is a possibility that some little shot in the arm could actually lead to what you're talking about. I think it somehow could go hand in hand. And I don't disagree that, you know, maybe some of the HBCUs are not in the best place to handle a one and done. However, I don't want to talk like that and keep them from coming. I want them to come, and we take our chances with whatever the fallout is, because I think it could ultimately be a benefit to our HBCUs, you know, if they get any type of run in the tournament, because like Coach Scott said, especially in basketball, one player could make that big of a difference. So, you know, obviously we're just having that dialogue.
I'm still being selfish. I'm really like speaking to, I'm trying to mind to speak to Coach Scott, because I'm just trying to mind, you know, meditate with him so that, you know, again, when that next offer comes, he's like, no, I have to this. So I'm, you know, that's just, you know.
I respect. We're actually up against our last break. So let me go to this last break and we'll have a last segment and kind of get our final thoughts on this discussion. We will allow callers to get back in, maybe one or two on this next segment. The number is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways. Every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
If you have a product or service you want to get out to the smartest audience in all of radio, please contact me again directly at 404-604-9477 or reach us via social media, IG, Mental_Dialogue. You can direct message or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. And ultimately, when we start talking about, you know, since these progressive ways, getting the word out and getting the consistency that our special guest Catherine just spoke about for this morning's discussion question, can former NFL players coaching at HBCUs return them to glory? And I gotta highlight what we're doing here, you know, on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, trying to get the word out, keeping the exposure going. You know, thanks to our caller Patrick talking about, you know, the player going to Howard and not wanting that momentum to die. And so, yeah, this is, you know, a role I take very serious in the media, trying to highlight stories that are important to our community. So in return, I ask for your support at mentaldialogue.com. So whether it's advertising or you as the individual, you can support by becoming a member at mentaldialogue.com. If you're outside of Atlanta, we ask that you become a supporter. I'm only $5 a month. If you're in Atlanta, we have other levels for some of our actual exclusive events that we do here in Atlanta. And for some of our business members, we have masterminds. And so that ranges from $19 to $49 a month, just putting those numbers out because we do need your support to remain on the air. So we want to definitely put that out there in regards to support. But this morning's discussion question, again, can former NFL players coaching in HBCUs return them to glory? Catherine and Coach Scott, this has been, a wonderful discussion, just kind of breaking it out on all levels, but bringing it back in particular to football, you know, the dialogue we were just having, you know, I absolutely know that one player in a sense couldn't be that shot in the arm when it comes to manning a football roster. It definitely takes a lot more. So again, just kind of bringing it full circle. And as you hear Catherine, in a sense, pleading and just keep putting that seed in your head, you know, you become that long-term effect. And, you know, I think just the way you've been talking, King, you will definitely have that perspective because, again, highlighting, again, this morning's discussion question, in particular, the Deion Sanders of the world, the Eddie Georges of the world, and Deion playing cuts, where he, in particular, you know, talked about what does he see winning as, not just the records, you know, the record itself, the wins and losses, but elevating of enrollment increasing throughout HBCUs. So I do believe it becomes imperative that culturally we begin to have these dialogues and understand the importance of seeing our HBCUs as an opportunity. And one of the best ways to do it is to kind of go where people already are at. And that's in the arena of sports. So again, Coach Scott, thank you for being on with us. But just your dialogue and your thoughts on, you know, again, I know I said a lot in that, but I think it has to be part of the conversation, not just in the arena of sports, but in our community in general, respecting and understanding and honoring how important our HBCUs are.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I love the statement earlier. When one wins, we all win, because at the end of the day, we're still all tied to a very familiar string that we're all tied to, and the success of one of us should inspire the rest of us. And you know, again, just through permeating throughout all of HBCUs, but in our individual universities, it's just the support and all making sure that we're all pulling in the same direction. We're not at odds. It's not one versus the other or one or the other. It's us together and figuring out, you know, continuously, you know, build that bridge and the connectivity to how it all comes together for us and to reach all of our goals, whether those are academic goals and thresholds or you know, athletically. But that there is a way that we can all bridge that together, bring that together, you know, for the greater whole, you know, and the whole idea is just all of us becoming one Howard Knott or one Grambling or whatever the case may be, that there's no opposition within the university. We're totally 100% a united front. So I'm totally agree with that.
No, I love it. And speaking of the academics, Captain, I'll shoot this back over to you. But you highlighted this earlier that the reality is, whether people recognize it or not, we're not hurting academically throughout the majority of our HBCUs, if you will. And I always love to highlight, because people are typically unaware of this, but for our black doctors, our black scientists, our black engineers, most people are unaware that the majority of them are still coming from our HBCUs, even with a lot of our community, let's be honest, preferring PWIs over our HBCUs. Like, again, let's be honest about that. But the reality is the actual turnout of those who are graduating in the field, the majority of them still come from our HBCUs. Again, to me, more of a reason to have these type of dialogues, highlight and remind even our own community the importance of the role that our HBCUs still play, especially when it comes to actual, you know, since we care so much about money, getting to the dollars and having a career in what you actually went to school for. I think the HBCU still does a better job than PWIs in a lot of cases when it comes to that. Your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, you know, let's face it, PWIs have their advantages. You know, I'm not going to take that away from them, but, you know, the HBCU experience is like none other. To be able to be around on a consistent basis like-minded people who, again, you have that safe space to walk and talk and just be without having to look over your shoulder and think about what you're saying or how you're dressing or what you're doing, but the freedom to be able to live your life and get an education in a safe place where you can exhale and have fun. Let's face it, because homecoming, I mean, you know. So there's definitely benefits to that. And you can, like I said, you know, when I walked out the door, I didn't have to go to a PWI to know how to conduct myself in a conference room or in an interview or in a boardroom or at a conference. You know, it was innate. It instilled that sense of confidence in me and who I am and knowing who I am and comfortable in my skin, that I can go and walk and be around anyone from a CEO, VP, down to whomever. So it definitely has its advantages, and I certainly always encourage it, you know. Definitely Howard, but if Howard is not someone's choice or they're not able to attend, there are certainly many other great universities out there, HBCUs that are waiting for us and wanting us.
No, I love it, and you know, and I'll even highlight another one of our colleagues, Brother Piancy, just talking about things starting at the elementary level and what it means, you know, when somebody, in a sense, arrives on one of these campuses being ready at that point. And, you know, just kind of talked about the idea of, you know, in a sense, I know you were talking particularly our black children being ready at that point. And so and this is just to even highlight, in a sense, what's going on in the public right now. Like, for example, last Saturday's show, we were talking about this, if you will, this critical race theory and how it's being politicized and things of that nature. You know, that's a whole nother conversation in itself. But just relating it to the concept of what I've been saying years before that debate even started, for our community in particular, our kids, unfortunately, quite often will go to public school and not, what I would always say, is not see enough of themselves, in a sense, to have a sense of themselves. And that's the most important thing that we could input in our kids, you know, beyond loving them properly. Next best thing is to make sure they are instilled and understand who they are as a person. And since our public schools typically, in most cases, won't do enough of that, the HBCU is the experience that fortifies. And while we said, like you said, why you could be the only one in that corporate room with no and have no issues, even more prepare in a sense to, you know, go into business or deal with those scenarios and a lot of people not realizing that you're better prepared getting that sense of self that you quite often are looking to find yourself when you're going to these PWIs. I definitely recall, you know, my experience even at the academy, just to highlight it, of constantly trying to find people like a Brent House, the caller that called in, that, you know, somebody I call my brother to this day. But, it, you know, it was finding them in that unique situation that, in a sense, kept us having that level of consciousness. But I promise you, I saw plenty of people go through that experience that are still lost, in a sense. You know, I'm 47 years old. Person never having, in a sense, taken advantage of those critical development young youth years in college of being able to find themselves, and hardly ever does anyone from HBCU walk away having to figure out who they are. That's the biggest competitive advantage, in my opinion, and why we have to have these conversations. So we got a couple of minutes before we end this show. I appreciate both of you dearly for this conversation this morning. Coach Scott, I'm going to start with you. If there's anything else you want to say to those that are out there listening, and, you know, in reference to your program in particular that you might want to say, please say it now. But thank you for your time this morning, King.
No, I think thank you very much. And I think not to necessarily towards the program or any of those type of things. I think, you know, the conversation is definitely great, but you just hit on something real powerful. And I think the whole idea of these places and HBCUs being a space to find yourself. And I think even in you come in from my personal perspective, you know, even at, you know, age 40 years old, you can still rediscover yourself. And I get that same sense now, even as an adult man, and being in this culture, and being at an HBCU, and being at Howard, it's been a self-identifying catalyst for me as well. So it's amazing the power of HBCUs, but I'm going to take it a step further. It's amazing the power of Howard. And then until you walk on that campus, and until you see what that, you know, to know what that feels like, man, it's a special place. You have no idea. So it was kind of a recruiting pitch at the same time right there.
No, I love it. Catherine, we got about 40 seconds. You are a fellow cohort on these airways, what I understand. So anything that you want to put out publicly, I know you mentioned in the beginning, about 30 seconds, but get out every information that you want. Queen, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, I don't have any information right now. I've been on hiatus from my show, so you know, I'm just looking forward to the upcoming season, you know, coming out of this pandemic. Coach Scott, you don't know, I'm sure you'll know that, you know, beyond athletics, academics, people are looking to be healed and entertained from the past year, so we're looking forward to this. And I'll be reaching out to connect with you. And I appreciate Montoya for this opportunity on the show.
Thank y'all both for your time. For those in Atlanta, next Saturday, just mention it real quick, June 26th, Jazz in the Alley and Historic Door Cross supporting that event, the sister that runs that event. Looking forward to that. So see y'all next Saturday for the show and then later that afternoon for Jazz in the Alley. All I ask is that you think. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.